Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And thank you very much for downloading our podcast from our final day in St. Petersburg before we head off to Moscow. And it wasn't a bad show, was it?
It was great fun. And you'll hear we visited the world-famous museum, the Hermitage, yesterday and did a package of that. I hope you'll enjoy that. Treated it ridiculously, really, but you'll hear. Kevin Day popped in the studio. We had fun with him. We had a bit of a chat about how it's going back home. He had a go at me about moaning about everything. Well, it's true, really. And food here is really bad, honestly. Moose, we set Moose a challenge. He lived up to it. You'll hear that. That was fun. Tinsel, he was good. He was good, yeah.
Denmark, yeah. Australia.
Steve Freeth's TV formats, that went pretty well. And I'd say that's just about it, really.
Good. Okay, well, here it all is.
It is 6 minutes past 10 for you, 6 minutes past midday here. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Andy. We'll stay on UK time.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Paul. And we saw Dion Dublin last week in our Moscow hotel. I forgot to tell you this, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
I had a chat with him. He's very, very excited. He's just landed a commission from Russian TV, Homes Under the Hammer and Sickle.
Oh, that's good.
I thought you'd like
that. I think we'd all watch that, wouldn't we?
We would.
We can pick up some bargains over here, can't we?
You
well,
certainly can.
Yeah.
Now, finding somewhere to eat in St. Petersburg can be a little bit of a problem.
Well, it is for you, mate, because you're a very fussy eater.
Well, it is. And our favourite place last night, Tokyo City, was...
Favourite place. Went there once.
Well, it was decent.
Went there once.
It was full.
Yeah.
And so David saw a restaurant offering Czech cuisine. He said to me, do you fancy Czech cuisine?
Yeah.
I said, the day I fancy Czech cuisine is the day I shuffle off this mortal coil.
Well, look, that's very hard on our Czech listeners, of which there are many. I've been to Prague once. I went to a Czech restaurant. And I'm guessing, having sampled traditional Czech food, you probably wouldn't have liked it because a couple of the boys there, they had knee.
Knee.
They had knee.
Knee.
And then one of them said, oh, a bit gristly. I said, well, it would be. It's a knee. You're eating a knee. So I think the cuts might not have been for you.
I know, definitely. Because I said to him,
good beer, though.
Have you? Absolutely. I said, have you ever heard people say, have you tried that new five-star Czech restaurant? Anyway, we settled on an Italian.
He's not going to be very welcome in Prague, is he?
Oh, I'm not going there. We settled on an Italian trattoria. Trattoria.
Trattoria.
Yeah. And where we encountered.
What a player he was.
We encountered a fellow. Woman customer with the worst BO ever, which was a bit of a disaster.
Blimey, nothing stays unsaid, does it?
But the best bit was you spotted an unattended left bag.
Well, I thought they'd left it, these two women. They walked outside. They were kind of Patty and Selma, basically.
Yeah,
weren't they?
Were, yeah.
And they'd left this bag on the chair and they walked out the restaurant. So I thought, they'd left some stuff there. So I rushed out with this bag and they're just both standing there having a tab.
It was BO.
You can imagine watching MacGyver on the big screen.
Great excitement in the restaurant, though, when news came through that Torquay had signed a player.
Oh, yeah.
Jason
Banton. We had to sit there and watch the new signings YouTube showreel, didn't we? It was fantastic.
He went straight onto YouTube.
Remind us of his name, John. What's his name?
Yeah, Jason Banton.
Yeah,
Jason
classic Banton. That's what the clips.
It was good to be able to hear John there because his headphones. We didn't hear him.
Okay.
But he's basically wearing headphones to speak to us. But each day they've got more and more gaffer. In fact, they're all gaffer tape.
They are basically all gaffer tape now. Yeah, it's quite rock and roll that, the way it's held together. That's an affectation of his, I think. Now,
go on.
We went out and about yesterday in St. Petersburg and we went to the world famous Hermitage.
Yeah.
Hermitage. It is a museum and art gallery. It's an incredible place. An amazing building, an amazing setting.
Incredible.
But we thought, this is talk sport, it's not enough for us to just to sort of walk around an art gallery, being all Sudi. We had to try and bring it back to sport, and indeed talk sport as much as possible. So let's have a listen and see if we managed to do it.
Earlier on, we discovered that Jordan Henderson and maybe a number of the other England players on their day off had come to the Hermitage.
Is that what it's called?
Well, it could be the Hermitage, named after Keith Hermitage, the former Bolton centre-half. That I made that up. There's no such person. But we thought if it's good enough for Jordan, if it's good enough for Liverpool's midfield schema, then it's good enough for us. It's supposed to be in a stunning building. We even turned queuing for tickets into sport because there was about five different lines. I got in one, you got in the other, and I won by three furlongs, didn't I?
By at least six idiots who
means
couldn't
I picked
work
up
the
tab, but that's the that's the least
Why
I can
these
do.
These people stand there trying to just work it out of buy a ticket. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was quite a simple machine.
But anyway, there's lots of different parts of this museum. Yeah. I was hoping to come to the actual art gallery, but sadly we seem to have ended up in the bit where there's antiquities.
Yeah, there's a lot of antiquities. You know, I like the odd antiquity, but you can only look at so many 6th century arrowheads, really. Especially when we're on a fairly limited timescale and there's quite a lot of football to watch. But join us now as we give you three idiots in the Hermitage.
Across a very interesting part of the exhibition, some 6th century sewage pipes.
Yeah, just I just stand in and I find, just imagine the amount of
effluent.
Stuff that's gone through that over the years.
Effluent is the correct word.
That's right.
This is one for the Prodigy fans here.
Oh yeah, I've got a fire striker with a bit of flint.
Instant fire striker.
Twisted fire striker with a bit of flint. A bit like one of those barbecues.
Look at this. That is, in fact, actually the earliest version of the UEFA Cup.
It is. It's a very UEFA Cup looking. You take pictures here, we'll be wrestled to the ground.
Probably. Come up to something now called the Alans in the North Caucasus of the 6th and 20th century. It was Alan Brazil, Alan Parry, Alan Carr.
Alan Carr, just some of the Alans, Alan Mullery, some of the Alans that were in the North Caucasus at this time between the 6th and... I don't think that stacks up, does it?
6th and 12th centuries?
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a long time, isn't it?
Well, it's a long time.
I mean, that's a lot of Alans.
It's a long time to be doing the breakfast show.
We've come across a horse wearing a full suit of armour and a man wearing a full suit of armour. What were the handicappers thinking?
Well, if he gets rid of the iron suit, the armour, he'd win the race.
He'd win the race.
I think he'd get the trip.
I mean, there's no way you could jump. I mean, even on the flat, that would be difficult, wouldn't it? We're trying desperately to bring it back to sport. Clearly, this was used in some kind of battle.
Clearly.
Now, we are in a sea of gilt, basically, which sounds very profound, but isn't. I mean, like, gold leaf and everything. It's a bit like being in David Sullivan's living room, isn't it? But not quite as flash.
No, it's pretty similar, actually.
It is quite impressive, isn't it? But, it's full on. It's full on. I could see him walking up these steps in one of his red velvet jackets, couldn't you? Signing players willy-nilly. It's got that kind of feel to it.
He's a Scottish player, isn't he, willy-nilly?
Willy-nilly. He's going to sign willy-nilly, the Scottish lad. Something called the Khazar Fortress of Sarkar, which I thought was a Marillion album. I think I've got it at home. Certainly a track on an album. It was very good. I always played that one live. It had a 12-minute drum solo in it.
That one there, that piece at the top, what's the point of that, really? Really, honestly.
And Andy is pointing at a piece of broken pot, basically.
834.
Why do we all look at our watch when you said that?
No, the year.
Got Marling is 834. Joining me live from the Khazar Fortress of Sarkar alongside me, Dean Saunders. Dino. Okay, so we've come across a sculpture here, and it's possibly one of the Alans from the Caucasus that we discussed earlier on. It's Alan Bernard Brazil, isn't it? It's AB Brazil.
All you need to do, Paul, is go and stand behind it, because you do a good Alan. And
work it from the back.
Work it from the back. Let's sit out of sight.
Manning.
People will think, blimey, Alan's it.
Yeah. So
it's animatronic.
It's a stunning likeness, isn't it?
Incredible. The hair especially.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think it's of course in pale opaque kind of marble. So have you got any rouge?
Just...
Okay, we've come to a room now full of beautiful paintings by the famous Hungarian artist whose name I've never heard of.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the rooms are the stars, aren't they? They've got this.
Oh, yeah, no money's paintings. No. You might as well just get rid of them.
No, but if you, you know, if you were just kind of wandering the corridor of a normal gallery, they wouldn't look so incredible, but. We're in a kind of, again, this is David Sullivan's dining room. he'd have a big screen, I think, at the end of the wall there. But it was, yeah, I mean, it's got big, ornate... The chandeliers are very much in the Only Fools and Horses envelope, aren't they? That's probably the best way to describe them. Imagine three of those with Grandad at one end with a hammer. But no, these are quite incredible rooms.
Incredible paintings, but I feel very much influenced by Constable and Turner.
You're saying you find his work derivative, Andy?
Very,
very
derivative,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
OK, well, fine. Well, I beg to differ, but we won't argue about that now.
And we come across, that was the Tsar Library. Now there's the photos of the Tsarinas.
Yeah.
Related, of course, to Zarina Adams, who does the travel on Talk Sport.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God, I'm learning quite a lot on this trip, I must say. I have no idea. I've been trying to work out what this building reminds me of, and I think I've come up with it. IKEA. Because it's impossible to find the exit, and it's absolutely massive. And there's a pretty good chance at the end that we can buy some meatballs for the freezer. There we are. That was the Hermitage. What a fantastic building. What a fantastic collection of art.
There was a
Reynolds in there.
Yeah.
That's a very famous painting. You just sort of happen upon it. One of like millions of paintings in a room. But they have kicked off in the second game of the afternoon. As much as I like a little walk around a gallery, there's football to be watched. And
I'd
that's
say
so. Basically what we're here for.
It's true.
Pint, anyone?
A bit of culture.
Yeah, I thought very cultural.
Yeah, it was quite nice to take in a bit of culture.
Yes, we didn't not reduce
bad.
It to nothing.
About £7 to get in. You could easily spend all day there.
Yeah, you could do if there wasn't Uruguay against Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be. I'd have to come back when that wasn't a distraction. If you are in St. Petersburg, seriously, you've got to go. It's a fantastic.
Very
place,
good. Yeah.
It's Hawksby and Jacobs live from St. Petersburg. We leave the city a little bit later on this afternoon and head back to Moscow.
I'll be pleased.
Yeah, that's right. You can get some good food in, Andy. I know you've been complaining about the grub here, but it's not like you complain really about anything.
No, not at all.
Not like at all.
Now, do you remember we, just on the eve of the afternoon of the England game, we visited, for good luck, the Chiswick Pizik statue.
That's right, the small bird under a bridge that you have to throw coins on, and if the coins land on the little plinth the bird stands on, it brings you good luck. I'd like to say it's an old, thousand-year-old tradition here from St. Petersburg, but it's like about 20 years ago someone did it. And students keep nicking it. They keep nicking the little birds. So
they
have a load of them cast, ready to replace it. But you'd have to be, it's quite a long way down, so you'd have to be dangling one of the other students by the legs, which we wouldn't advise you to do, really, over a bridge. But
Well, anyway, yesterday, John, our producer, John Canning, came up with a brilliant idea for Arsenal fans, the Chiswick Pizik. You have to land a coin on a small statue of Sir Chips Chiswick.
That's nice.
That's a really brilliant idea.
That's a great idea. Well, I mean, they're doing some good business. They may not need that luck.
And, yesterday was, we found ourselves once again at the FanFest, or Grimfest, as I like to call it.
I mean, it's if you've been over seats for a tournament, you'll know that the fan fest at the Euros or a World Cup, it's fine when the game's on because everybody's there having a drink or having something to eat, watching the game, and it's all very kind of collective experience. I know Andy doesn't like that, but some people do. But it's half time and before. It's like it's like being in the world's worst holiday camp. Bloke gets on. Yesterday we had Russian Timmy Mallet, and he's doing countdowns and kiss cam, and feel like an old. But it was so loud. They turn it up twice as loud as the match. And it's that kind of English-Russian hybrid language where they go in from one to the other.
Yeah, yes.
And it's this kind of enforced fun, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yesterday we had Will Smith's terrible official song
at
3,000 decibels, followed by screaming at the audience, "Let's do the Iceland clap!" No, let's not bother, for goodness sake.
Yeah, no one really went for it. It was a bit half-hearted, but the bloke got on the drum and he was trying to get everybody going, but I thought, No, mate, really. We just watched 45 minutes of Uruguay boring the pants off us. I don't think we need to do now.
And we're a bit thirsty, so we decided to go for a drink, John and I, and we joined a queue of, short queue of three people.
Yeah, you were away a long time.
Yeah, 11 minutes later, we finally got served, and it's because each order, instead of, like, you know when you go to cricket?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've got it sussed at cricket here. You go to a test match, and they've already poured out,
yeah,
like, hundreds of pints. Mm. So they're there. So, same at Wembley. The pints are already there, and the queue basically goes quite quickly.
It does, yeah.
Here, they just basically, each time they get an order, the woman has to pour the beer into the souvenir cup.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Anyway, I quite fancied the souvenir cup, and after 11 minutes, I wasn't drinking beer yesterday. As you say, I didn't feel that well, so I thought I'd just have a bit of a Coke. And the surly bloke behind the counter refused to give me a souvenir cup, snatched the money out of my hand.
Wow.
That was it.
I imagine you'd been standing, he probably spoke English, and you'd been bitching in the line for 11 minutes.
Well,
so was that it?
John sent him, I'm sure you'll soon be working at the Savoy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, look, we found the one rude bit of customer service we've encountered in about over a week of being in the country, because everybody else has been fine.
It wasn't great, though, but what can you do? Never mind, I'm not complaining.
Yeah. I'm not. Andy Jacobs' new book, I'm Not Complaining.
We were looking for somewhere to eat on TripAdvisor yesterday. I think John found a place that said, you must try the amazing heroin and potato pancakes.
No.
We said, what?
What was that?
Herring.
Oh, herring. Sorry. Yeah, I've misheard. Yeah,
I know,
misheard
we both misheard.
Yeah,
it.
That's right.
Now, I make notes all the time, as you can imagine.
Yeah, which is the random thoughts of Andy Jacobs on
the sometimes, the next day, I go to my notes, and for some reason, I've got in my notes about the Hermitage Museum.
What have you
the curators were Steve Nicol and Steve Mahon. I don't know what happened.
Steve McMahon.
Steve McMahon, yes.
No, it was the idea. We just had an idea for a South Bank show, didn't we? That there'd be a special set. Tonight in John Benson's film, we talk about the new curators of the Hermitage Museum. Steve McMahon and Steve Nicol, former Liverpool midfielders, took over last year in a surprise move. We're behind the scenes at some of the changes they've made. The amount of Liverpool scarves that have replaced. It's become Alan Bennett, hasn't it, really?
Yes, really.
I said to Mum, why Steve Nicol and Steve McMahon in charge of the Hermitage, Mum? She said, oh, shut up and eat your tea, Alan. Or something like that.
Then we saw a pony and trap.
Basically, we're sitting in cabs. While this is going on, we're sitting in cabs. And that's where all the drivers, their ex-flying squad. That's all I can think. Do you know what? Everybody had a mate like that when they were about 18. He's just passed his test, and he's in like a escort or something. And he drives too quick. He drives on the brakes. But you know, at least when the police do it, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
These blokes, you get in the cars and think, we're going to go into the back of him. They're weaving. I think it's a very aggressive country at driving. Unless you do drive like that, if you're driving all the time, you wouldn't get anywhere. Because it's like stock car racing. I'm waiting for a bloke to be pulling a caravan behind us and or have the doors welded up on half the cabs.
And the traffic, of course, there's traffic jams either side. But in the middle of the road are the tram lines, you know, for the electric, still have electric trams here, which are quite picturesque, quite nice to look at. Mm. But then what they do is they just try and drive on that. Oh, it's crazy, really.
Yeah. But it's, you're basically, the minute you, all of us thought we were all going to throw up the minute we got out of the cab. Most cab journeys here are a full vom experience.
They
aren't
are.
They?
Yeah. We saw a pony and trap at one point. Don't you remember yesterday?
We
decided to ring Lord Vesty to suggest pony and trap racing at Cheltenham over the jumps.
Over the jumps. That would be like when they tow caravans in stock car racing, wouldn't it? Imagine that.
The carnage.
As long as the horse is all right, you know, that's okay.
So that was good. And
anything else?
I'll tell you, yes, we met a bloke yesterday. Very interesting, actually. One of the tech ops at working at the matches.
Yeah.
And he told us, you know, we all have heard these tales about how they protect the official sponsors. But he was wearing a Nike T-shirt and trainers.
He was pitch side in his job.
Yeah,
that's right.
Doing his job. And one of these FIFA blazers came up to him. And, of course, Adidas are the main sponsors here. And he made him remove his T-shirt and trainers.
Get that off. Get that off, he said, or cover it up.
I mean,
you would think then that the good people at Adidas or indeed FIFA would supply them with an alternative if they're so keen.
Yeah. I know.
But yeah, because he was down on the pitch side and he may have been seen on the camera. So they fiercely protect the sponsors.
Fiercely protect them. And crossing the road here is an interesting experience. Yeah. Very, very long timed sequences. And you can see the seconds ticking by. Yeah. So like when there's about 10 seconds to go, you think, well, I'll make a dash for it. I don't want to wait another 120 seconds.
Yeah.
So last night I saw the green 10 second thing. I thought, I can get across it. I'm a bit old, but I've still got a bit of pace.
You've still got the first 10 yards in your head.
Very much so. So I sprinted across the road, but I ended up
up doing a Brian Ricks. My trousers came down. I don't know what happened.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Must have taken back to that day in that relay when you couldn't get the tracksuit bottoms off.
It was incredible.
That's right. And you were, again, I think we underestimate just how much basic Anglo-Saxon English is spoken here. Everybody seems to understand the swear words. We told you the other day that the Russians are incredibly, fiercely proud of their quality and breadth of swearing. Mark Bennett's in his book Football Dynamo says, Russians, as they're prone to do about almost anything, women, tanks, home cooking, etc., vehemently claim that their swearing is superior to any in the world. And as your trousers fell down and the seconds ticked away, you gave us a good
She towards me, so I had to swerve.
Yeah, three, four young girls were crossing the road. So he had to swerve, still holding up his kecks, with the seconds ticking away before he gets wiped out by the flying squad. And you exclaim, you gave us a great old four-letter exclamation, and they all laughed.
Yeah, they did, to be
so,
fair.
So I'd like to think in the swearing stakes, we're holding our own.
Now, for 3 days running, I've promised the guys from the New York Brass Band that I would do this. They were, of course, that's their normal guys. They were, of course, the Yorkshire Tea Band.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, they were sponsoring the show. They came into the studio, lovely fellas, and they play all over the country. And they had a very sad incident on the weekend. Somebody nicked their equipment.
Oh, really? I didn't know
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. It's pathetic, actually. And it's beautiful sousaphone, which is, you know, marked New York Brass Band. I mean, what's anybody else going to do with that? It's pathetic, actually. Anyway, if you have seen it or you get offered it or anything like that, you know, you see it.
So we're on the look at what city was it in?
In London. Yeah.
Oh, so not over here?
No, no, they're not over here.
So if you're in London, you see a rogue sousaphone. It's pretty clearly theirs because it's all marked up. So, I mean, a lot of people say, what does a sousaphone look like?
Yeah, it's all like a big, trombone, is it?
You're no help, are you?
It's a tuba you put around your neck.
What about
Thanks very much, John, whose headphones have now disintegrated completely.
A-level music.
He did. I thought he was a musicologist.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've seen a lot of people, we've mentioned it here, the people with a lot of collagen implants
there
on
have
their lips.
We've noticed it's quite a big thing amongst the ladies.
Men and women.
Here in Moscow.
I call them the Marcello Lippies.
Yeah.
And I took a photo of one to send to my wife. Because I knew she'd be interested. She doesn't really like football, but she's interested in that sort of thing. So I went to send it to her on WhatsApp, but I inadvertently sent it to the TalkSport WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
I think they were...
So some of them may be getting it
Hugh
done.
Wizzy was some extremely of them, surprised.
I don't know if any of them... maybe some of the boys are thinking, that's the look I want. I want a trout pal.
They probably did do that, absolutely.
So, Sepp Blatter wearing a little kind of fan pass. Pictures have just emerged. Obviously.
Really?
He's here, of course. As a fan, one of the game's great fans, and there he is with his
Make him queue up.
Fan
to,
ID.
To get everywhere. Make him go through security. Make him go in the worst seat in the house.
Yeah, that'll happen.
No.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, throughout the tournament, we have been challenging the Moose, and he's got one in the bank. I think he's working up to the bath. Being beaten with
That's
sticks
right,
in
yeah.
a sauna and then the plunge pool. So he's working up to that one. He much prefers some of the kind of easier stuff. So you did set him a challenge yesterday to go and find a greengrocer's because you'd not really noticed one, had you?
I hadn't seen one at all, and I'm quite desperate for a bit of fruit and veg.
Well, let's see how he got on. Good afternoon, Moose.
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, thank you. So was it difficult to find a greengrocer's anywhere in Moscow?
Yeah, I could only find three in the whole of Moscow.
Right.
So it wasn't easy. Then I had to obviously track it down and locate it. But I managed to this morning, which was excellent. And I came across I went inside and came across a guy called Daniel.
Yeah.
I asked him why there were so few greengrocers in Moscow. And obviously the interview that I have hasn't been ready yet. But Only an hour to get 2 seconds of audio out of that bloke, but never mind.
We'll play it out later. Don't worry about it. And
he was telling me it's because they have better quality fruit than in the supermarkets, but the supermarket fruit is cheaper. So anyway, I walked out the shop, and I like to think I've got a really good sense of direction.
Yeah.
And I walked out the shop. I thought to myself, do you know something? I kind of recognise this place. Mm. Not the greengrocers, obviously.
No.
I thought, if I go to the end of the road, turn right, and then hang a left, guess where I might end up?
I've seen the pictures.
I love cakes.
So, hang on. So I hung right at the end of the road, walked up about 200 yards, turned left, thought to myself, hello, it's this road. I recognised it. And there, and behold, I thought, I found my cake shop. So you're talking to me now in the middle of most enormous chocolate I don't know what you call it, chocolate sort of cake with cream and solid chocolate in it. I mean, this is death by chocolate times about 10. It's absolutely amazing. So yeah, the greengrocer was a good challenge because it brought me straight back to... And by the way, much easier to find this today than it was 2 days ago.
Oh, look, we're desperate for your trousers not to fit by the end of this trip. So we're going to send you on another challenge.
You're going to love this.
There is a... you definitely will love this. It's a chocolate shop and factory and museum.
And
right?
Shop, yeah.
It's called Red October. So basically, we're going to send you on a hunt for Red October. Does that ring any bells to you, Moose?
I'm going to do my best Sean Connery impression now.
Oh, it does.
Oh, well
it's
done.
It's a film he's seen.
Yeah, it is a film I've seen, yeah. Oh, I've got it here. Red October in Moscow. It's cut straight away.
Kroptinskaya. That's the metro station. So I think you'll find
it. Which one is it?
Kroptinskaya.
All right. That's certainly not very close to here. But don't worry. I'm sure I could factor in getting back here at some point.
I'm afraid we can't find anywhere next to your nearest cake shop. That's obviously quite a limiting challenge, isn't it, really, if you're just using that as a base.
Do you know what? I'm not being funny. This ain't too far away.
Oh, okay.
Because the station I got out of today was very close to the Multimedia Art Museum in Moscow.
Nice, yeah.
And just over the river, which looks like it's about 2 miles away, but just over the river is the Moscow Red October Gallery. So I'm figuring that it can't be that far away.
Well, look, we're going to send you on the hunt for Red October. And also, Moose, Andy was considering giving you 2 tickets to the Bolshoi Ballet. Would you sit through 2-3 hours of ballet? Or
you know what? I've been to the Bolshoi Ballet.
Wow.
I went 2 days ago. It's a lovely building from the outside. Would I go in and watch an opera? It's not really all for me, all that sort of prancing around in tights and singing in Latin. To be honest with you, I mean,
singing in Latin. You sure it wasn't a church? I think you might have wandered into a Catholic church.
I'm more of a sort of, you know, Portugal Senegal man rather than Latin.
Okay.
Opera type person.
Mark, I mean, so we didn't get into the FanFest for the opening game because they closed it down because there were so many people who turned up to watch Russia in the opening match against Saudi Arabia. So, what's the Moscow FanFest like? What's that? Have you made it there yet?
Yeah, I went there the other night. I mean, every single World Cup I've been to, I've been to the Fan Fest, and I have to say it's probably the worst and the most disappointing that I've been to. They're actually, you know, I mean, I remember sort of in Brazil and certainly in Germany in 2006, there's quite a lot to do in the Fan Fest, and in terms of, you know, like 2 years ago, for example, in Paris as well. There was quite a lot to do in terms of, like, you know, football. You could play 5-a-side on the pitch and what have you. And there was somewhere to sit as well to watch the games. Here there isn't. It's just like, you know, a great big sort of slab of concrete behind the University of Moscow. And I'm actually really disappointed with the Fan Fest over here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, look, we'll try and check it out when we're next in Moscow. Go in search tomorrow for Red October, Moose. Have a good day. We'll catch up with you then.
Yeah, thanks. I will. I've just got to finish my cake. So
oh, yeah.
Yes, well done, Ian.
We'll leave you to your massive chocolate cake. The size of a house. He just sent out a picture of
it. He's allergic to fruit and veg, so he immediately had to go into the cake shop.
He had to rush. Yeah, it's detox as he got out of the fruit and veg shop.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Gulla paura lo chiappai a
Welcome back to St. Petersburg. Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We leave you at 12:30. We hand over to our team, building up to our first game of the afternoon on Talk Sport. Denmark versus Australia. Australia putting a decent performance against the French the other day. The Danes pretty comfortable victory for them. So we'll see how that one pans out. Then it's France, Peru, Argentina,
that'll be a
Croatia.
Good game. France, Peru will be a lovely game. Is that the one we're on the train?
No. We'll see that. Anyway, we'll work that out.
Yeah, that's a
so,
cracker.
So let's get a different take on the World Cup from our point. We're a long way from home, but thankfully somebody who's been watching from that end is friend of the show, writer and comedian and Palace fan, Kevin Day. Kev, good to talk to you.
Good morning, how are you? Was that Andy's voice I could hear singing then? That was beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
It's his new album. My new album. Russian songs.
Sean Dyche sings the songs of Russia.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, Kevin, what have you been enjoying?
Well, I said, you'll have to excuse me, I'm slightly confused because I got a phone call yesterday from your producer saying, can you be in the studio at 11:15? I went, yeah. And that was all the details I got. So I'm just actually catching up on why I'm here. So I've been enjoying, it's been, do you know what, it's been a... against all the expectations, it's been a great World Cup so far. I think partly because for the first time in two decades, I've got no work to do whatsoever about it or for it. And so I'm just at home watching it. And it looks great. I envy you being there. It looks like a wonderful country. It looks beautiful. Are you in Moscow now?
No, we're in St. Petersburg. We're back in Moscow later.
By the river. Have you been to the Hermitage? Have you been to
have.
Oh, yes. We had a little package this morning. We completely heathened it and brought it all back to sport.
Because we only had a limited amount of time, we had to bring it, really, give it a bit of a sporting angle. So
Did Andy find something to moan about?
Well, honestly, I've been moaning a lot. I know you enjoy my moans.
I do. So. Well, I also, because as soon as I heard the news about Gareth Southgate's shoulder, I assumed that an interview with you had gone badly wrong.
No, it's mostly my complaints have been about the food and also my minibar this morning. It had nothing in it whatsoever.
Well, it's not a minibar, it's a fridge. There's a big difference between a minibar and a fridge.
Also, Andy,
unless you're Alan, of course, Alan Brazil.
Andy's quite a little person, so to him it's just a bar, isn't it?
Andy, it's one of those cryogenic freezing chambers.
You could
sit in there for a couple of hours.
You're just playing into the hands of all those people at home who moan about pampered broadcasters. You're in St. Petersburg in the middle of the World Cup getting paid and all you can moan about is I bet it's the quality of the vodka, isn't it?
It's not just that. There's no water, of course, in the room, so I had to boil some water to drink because you can't drink the water here. Put it this way, Kerry.
It's like an old report from 19. We can't drink the water. They got no tomato ketchup. It's ridiculous.
I googled it. Because I was really thirsty. Is the water safe to drink here in St. Petersburg? And they went, no. That's what Google said.
Who
to me.
Said,
no,
you don't take Google's word on it. It's a modern country. It's civil. What do you mean there's no water in your room?
Well, you can't drink the water. I didn't want to risk it. And I had a bit of a dodgy tum yesterday, so I didn't want to risk it. But put it this way.
Pray for Andy.
I don't think Giles Corran and Monica Galetti will be featuring the Hotel Oktia Barskaya from St. Petersburg in their amazing hotel
series. You mentioned them now, you're leaving, don't you? Not beforehand.
Honestly. Yeah. Talk about Russia's worst breakfast. You've never seen anything like it.
Honestly, Kevin, it really isn't. The ultimate food snob it is.
It's absolutely terrible.
But to anybody.
Paul, it was my fault for mentioning the word moaning. I shouldn't have given a glimmer of
moaning mode.
Honestly.
Now, we saw this amazing moment. I don't know, Kevin, if you caught the game last night with Spain-Iran, but there was a fairly bizarre moment right at the end of the game where one of the Iranian players decided to try something with the dying seconds with his team needing a goal to equalise, tried a sort of a forward somersault into his throw-in. Have you witnessed this yet?
No, I didn't. To be honest, I was doing a rehearsal. My eyes were still full of tears from watching the Spain players tenderly lift that tiny bird off the pitch at the start, which was a beautiful moment. No, I missed it.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, it's lovely. It's one of many beautiful, tender moments in this World Cup that I'm sure we'll come on to discuss.
They used to have these little clips, FIFA Fair Play moments they used to show in the 98 World Cup, and they'd be lovely slow-motion moments of sportsmanship between players.
On French TV, wasn't
on
it?
French
big close-ups.
Yeah, big close-ups. I mean, you got them as well, I think, in this country. But they were quite nice. That little bird definitely would have counted as one of those.
Well, I'll tell you, while we're mentioning fair play, one person who hasn't got fair play was, Vicky Sparks, who became the first woman to commentate on the World Cup game yesterday.
Right.
Morocco-Portugal. And she was perfectly good. She had Martin Keown next to her, which is always a distraction. try to look away, but you'll find. But she was great. But the stick she's been getting on. John Terry quite rightly got a lot of... He had to backtrack.
No, but he didn't do that. So unfair.
Well, I know, but he shouldn't have... Well, he
do you know that John Terry paid for the women's Chelsea women's team? And I know, really, I'm going to defend him.
No,
really.
I agree with that. I don't disagree. Well, I agree is the same as not disagreeing. But it was unfortunate, the timing of his comments.
It was very unfortunate.
But he certainly wasn't responsible for the rest of Britain's football fans have to catch up with the fact that 50% of the population like football and are perfectly competent. So Jackie Oakley, for example, has forgotten more about football than I ever know. And Vicky Sparks is a great comment. It was just astonishing that even the Mail today has had to have a full page to say, leave her alone, she did all right. And when the Daily Mail had said, leave a woman alone, she did all right.
That's true.
But no, do you know what's interesting about this World Cup as well? I think I celebrated the England goal. I very rarely get to Palace levels of celebration when England are playing, because in the past it's always been, you know, much as I love my country, if Gary Neville's playing for it, I'm not going to be that upset if they get knocked out. Do you know what I mean? But watching that game the other night, when they equalised, I just thought, normally in the past you go, of course they've equalised. Well, let's work out the connotations. We just have to beat the next two teams. It's all right if we finish seconds. That means we'll avoid Germany, blah, blah, blah. But I was actually genuinely distressed and disappointed when they equalised. And when we scored the winning goal, I was so pleased, because this is, for the first time for ages, this is an England team that you can actually really like.
And yeah, it's interesting.
Very good point, Kevin, because I was in the pub. I feel similar to you about England as well. But I went mad. I found myself leaping around the pub. I was
it's just enjoyable watching an England team playing grown-up football, even though they're a young side. They've got a plan. They stick to it. They look like they really want to play football. And also, the first 20 minutes was as good a 20 minutes of football as I've seen in this World Cup so far. And I actually felt a surge of pride, which was great. Obviously, you know, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, he won the corner from which we scored, and he using skills that he learnt in the season at Palace. So clearly, there is that link as well. But no, I really... And you know, the other thing, I think the England team have been helped by the fact that for the first time in decades, we haven't got the most fans out there. We're just another team in terms of fans. So that level of pressure's off. There's no one worrying about, are there going to be negative news reports? The England fans are just doing what the rest of the world's fans are doing, mixing nicely with people. Because some of the scenes of fans mixing together have been... It'd be great. The Polish fans applauding the Senegal fans was fantastic. And then those Senegal fans, what a joy to watch they were. Fantastic.
We've seen footage of a 20-hour train journey where I think there was about five or six different sets of fans all drinking together, including a lot of England fans in the bar having a party. No problem. And we want to be seeing an awful lot more of that.
Yeah.
Me and Jacobs here on TalkSport live from St. Petersburg. Kevin Day is back in our London studio, has given us his take on the tournament so far. Of course, comedian and writer. Kevin, now that you wanted to know, you're on tenterhooks trying to find out who this commentator is. Let me tell you.
Yes, please do.
That he's effectively already retired from football. It is one Barry Davis. Barry's going to do his last Wimbledon game, at the tennis, of course, on the 4th of July. And he was, again, the voice of football as we grew up, wasn't he, alongside Motti. They had a very different style, but I loved them both. But Barry was quite dry. He used to get annoyed with players, which Motti never generally did. But I used to love Barry getting just a bit short-tempered with footballers after a bad cross or a miss.
Look at his face is the one for our generation. But do you know what? I met Barry a few times. I met John Watson several times, mainly inside pubs, Barry less so. The word dapper, I think, could be invented for Barry Davis. But like he had a certain sort of, not military feel about it, but he was more formal than John Watson. But for my money, he was every bit as good a commentator. And he always felt a bit more serious when Barry's called. But he disapproved of things, like you say, he disapproved of the, what he'd call the dark arts. He would tut when Francis Lee dived, for example. So what? But also, it's just the fact that he was so much more versatile. You never found Motti turning up on hockey or
no
ice skating.
Oh, that famous Olympic commentary.
Who cares about the Germans?
Mortal line. Now, you may have noticed, Kevin, that Sepp Blatter is here in Moscow.
Not being there like you two pampered. So I wouldn't have noticed, no.
When it's on social media, you know he's here. And he's just said, you'll love this, he said, it's time for the British Isles to host a World Cup. Yeah, thanks, now you're saying it.
Yeah,
now.
Great.
Now you know you can't make any difference. Well, having said that, Kevin, I mentioned our old colleague, Kate Partridge, spoke to him for Russia Today yesterday. And Sepp said, I'm actually still the head of FIFA. I'm just suspended. So it's like Infantino is keeping the seat warm. That's quite a staggering thing to say.
I almost admire it a little bit. It's like a mate of mine who was barred from the pub once and just refused to accept it. Just kept going back in and then kept getting shown the door. That's exactly what his attitude is. No, I'm technically still the boss. Why would I be at the World Cup if I wasn't in charge of FIFA? It's ludicrous. Of course I am.
I had a friend at Chelsea who was banned for the season. Very unluckily, actually. He wasn't. He wasn't touting tickets. He was actually just selling a ticket to a bloke for cost price, but he got done for ticket touting. Mm. And they banned him for a season. And he's a home and away man. I mean, literally all over the world. And he just came to every game. And you kept thinking, how's he done that?
He came with
a beard, then he was wearing a top hat.
The banning order. A top hat. I mean, I think a man with a top hat would stand out. Would he? Noddy holders.
Not a Chelsea these days. A top hat wouldn't stand out at Chelsea.
You're probably right.
No, right.
Yeah. That old picture of the boys at Eton and the kind of scruffy kids looking at them. It's probably like that on the Fulham Road most games. Isn't it?
You're going to love it next season, Kevin. Chelsea are going to be relegated. Haven't you heard?
What? Do you know something I don't know?
Well, look at it. They've got no manager. They've got no direction. No director of football. They haven't bought anybody. Loftus-Cheek saying, I don't know. If I don't get a game, I'm off. You know,
of course he is.
Prepared to squander a brilliant talent like that. It's bonkers.
Well, he wouldn't be squandering it. If he's had a year in the heady air of South London. He knows what life's like on the other side of the fence, mate.
It's made him feel what it's like to play regular football. And two right is a brilliant player.
And here he is playing well. If
we don't get him, we'll be getting Jack Wilshere, according to every news.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Palace the favourites, are they, Kevin?
This is why I've stopped going on things like CPFC News Now and CPFC Gossip Update, because I just got really cross last night because according to Ray Parler, West Ham are favourites, but then you read on and it says Ray Parler says Jack Wilshere will come to West Ham because his dad supported him.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think his agent will probably have a few words to say about that, really. It's like, my dad...
His agent might be a Palace fan.
Yeah, exactly. So I've given up until I get firm information. But we've been linked with them. If we could get Loftus-Cheek back, we don't need to buy anybody else if we get Loftus-Cheek on a permanent transfer because he's...
You won't get him on a permanent transfer. We've got to stop.
You're
going to pay £50 million for him?
Yeah.
What he'll go for.
We can afford that. We're big
players. Any Premier League side.
Well, I'm fed up. Well, the other rumour is we're after Tammy Abraham. So we've got to stop being a club that only loans players from Premier League clubs. We have to start buying players rather than.
Yeah, and he's another one that should be at Chelsea. I'm sick of this. Completely fed up with it.
Well, you can get William Chelsea moaning in.
Kevin mentioned the Hermitage Museum.
Hermitage.
It was funny last night because we were so busy messing around and doing a piece that when we came out, I said, I'm really disappointed. Messing about, we forgot to see the famous cat.
Andy said
believe.
We didn't see the world famous cat. We've come to St. Petersburg, the Hermitage Museum's world famous cat, and I thought. Well, that doesn't sound right. I was trying to work my way back. Do you know what it's like with old people? Your nan says something, you think, what did she mean then? What did nan... You sit there afterwards with a cup of tea. What did she mean? And what it is, there's a kind of cat circus in Moscow.
Whoa.
So it was not the world-famous cats. He said, they're behind a screen. I thought, why would you have a living cat behind a screen?
Behind glass.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I'm doubly... Because you know my passion is history, so I know about museums. I'm just thinking, how have I missed... What, Fabergé cats? I've missed the famous Fabergé jewel...
We didn't see the Fabergé eggs. How did we manage to miss them?
How can you go there and not go to the Fabergé? It's the only...
Well, look,
I'm visibly cross now. I don't blame you.
The place is the size of IKEA near Wembley, on about six floors. We saw as much as we could, and most of it was walking around trying to bring it back to football. We even saw this incredible 8th-century sculpture of a ram. We're saying, we'll take that back for Frank Lampard. He can put it in the manager's office. So
Andy was distracted on every floor by going, "Where's the cats?"
That's right. He was there on his translator saying, can you tell us where the cats are behind the glass? And he was getting nothing from
it. I didn't know there was a cat circus in Moscow. I would love to see a cat circus.
Well, we'll try and go to the cat circus
Bring photographs of the cat circus. I love cats.
And bring that to you. What have you made of the video assistant referees and the use of Kevin so far?
You don't start me. You know how... you know my views on VAR. I mean, it's added a certain level of amusement to the... It's just after the England game as well, when Mark Clattenburg, other referees are available. he said I've spoken to FIFA and they've said the reason the two Harry Kane ones weren't reviewed is that the ball went out quite quickly and went back into play, so they didn't have time to review them because once the ball's back in play after it's gone out, etc.
Pitiful.
And then next morning, somebody on BBC said that FIFA had told them that there were actually two fouls by England players in the lead-up to it. And then half an hour after that, FIFA said my favourite thing in the World Cup so far is that they were going to review the review system on the back of the England thing. So I like to think there'd be a separate bank of TVs with people watching the TVs and the referees. The one that annoyed me most was Argentina's penalty that Messi missed, which is like, and the commentators go, well, they review every decision up to a goal, but they can't have reviewed that because it wasn't a penalty. It simply wasn't a penalty. And it's just, I'm not as angry as I was when it was in the FA Cup because it's playing right into my hands that we shouldn't have it. But it's actually making it more enjoyable in a strange sort of way because they're getting it so wrong. A couple of decisions have been absolutely right. You'd be churlish.
Got Spain out of a hole last night, didn't
yes.
it? In the old days, that would have been a 1-1 draw. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, but it was so offside. It was clearly offside. I don't think anybody watching that didn't go, that's not offside. I mean, that's... And the worst thing about that was that Iran, and their wonderful support, Iran had 15 seconds of mayhem in the stadium. And then had it taken away from them because they wouldn't have had that because they would have known that the flag was up because every football fan would have been watching for the flag. But it hasn't disrupted the game as much as I wanted it to do, but it certainly hasn't done its job.
Okay. We were speaking to somebody who knows quite a bit about VAR and over here and how it all works, and all the communication is in simple English, which
the other day
they had a complete team of Spanish speaking officials, I think it was Panama or somewhere like that, but yet they were still having to communicate VAR wise in English. So you can see that's not great.
Like air traffic control,
like air traffic control. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a strange thing as well because I think the game last night. Spain, Iran, the referee was Uruguayan, so of course he could speak to the Spanish players, but quite obviously can't speak to the Iranian players, for most of them, so I presume that's an issue. So I wonder what the simple instructions they're getting in their ear then, in just simple English. But I think the fact that the VAR referees are wearing their kit is what annoys me the most. There's just no
it's
need
true,
for it.
It's ridiculous. I mean, should be FIFA Blazers, shouldn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Basically. So what games have you seen live then?
We went to the Russia-Egypt games.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
It was wonderful being there.
So did you catch the Germany-Mexico game before you went?
Yes, we saw that. We watched that one at the Fan Fest. That was fantastic.
I think that's my favourite game. You saw it over there?
Yes, we saw it in the Fan Fest. No, we didn't go to the
We're
game.
We're off to Germany-Sweden in Sochi.
Germany-Sweden next.
Very, very lovely.
I think that Germany-Mexico game was not only the best game in the tournament for me, but one of the most world, if you understand what I'm saying, the most World Cup game I've seen for a long time. It's just two contrasting styles and full of tension, full of good football. And the Mexican fans, again, the fans have been just amazing out there. I think it's been brilliant.
Very good point by you, Kevin, because World Cups in the old days, there was always this contrast of players you didn't know, European and South American. Good point.
Kevin, we're out of time. Good to talk to you.
Hopefully
catch up with you later in the... What are you up to at the moment? Anything you want to tell us about?
I'm Googling Cat Circus.
That's the most important thing.
We've got the second preview of the Arthur Smith play that I told you about before, which is on tonight in Streatham. Ironically, it turns out it's in the same building that Arthur Smith's dad met his mum, which is what the play's about. So.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Brilliant. So and you're taking that to Edinburgh, is that right?
We are taking that to Edinburgh and then on tour after Edinburgh. So
I promise you I'm going to see it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll get a mini bar in just for you, Andy.
All the best. Thanks,
right.
Kevin.
Brilliant.
Bye-bye,
Kevin. Thanks.
Comedian and writer Kevin Day, they're back in London.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, as the listeners have been listening over the last few days will know, we see you as a future TV star. We are representing you. I think we're your agents. And
definitely are. 100% you are. Don't worry about that.
We're coming up with TV formats for you, which we're going to take to broadcasters when we get home. This is a little documentary series. You in Iran, of course, travelling around the Freeth of Baghdad. I think that'll be great. It's a kind of travelogue, really, of your views on what it's like there now.
I'm very excited about this one. Sunshine on Freeth.
Yeah.
Steve goes on holiday with the Proclaimers.
Yeah.
It's quite a long walk to the beach, 500 yards.
It is, but they're prepared to walk it, both boys said. You know, it's quite a long way to the beach from the hotel, but it's your travel show, like a holiday show. A Freeth in Our Midst, which is where you're heavily, like, kind of, think of like Ant and Dec when they kind of lot prosthetic makeup and they go in and people think they've got to find out who is Steve Freeth in the room. So a Freeth in Our Midst and they win cash and cars.
That's
possibly
a good one, that, yeah.
That's a good one, isn't it?
I'd like to a fat Iniesta, so maybe I could dress up as him.
Fat Iniesta.
Yes, you're just a fat Iniesta. Okay.
And for me, finally, Freeth Le Ledger. This is Steve's guide to bookkeeping for small businesses.
Well, yeah, that's more probably an online course, really. I mean, that's not a bad way for you to kick off with Three Fledger, and then we'll build up to the big ITV entertainment shows on Saturday night, Steve. Are you happy with that? That's the strategy we've built for you on this trip.
Yeah, I think I've upped the percentage to 20% on the back of that, guys. Some great ideas there.
Fantastic. Catch up with you tomorrow, Steve. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys. All the best.
Steve Freeth there from Bet365. All the latest odds. Now, let's get the World Cup update on a plate with Just Eat.
Update on a plate on TalkSport with Just Eat. Tap the app, audio takeaway, and try to remain calm. Just Eat. Put it on a plate.
And still very nervous about being linked to this promotion and being thought on a plate. Is Tinsel the turkey?
His giblets are quivering.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure his giblets are quivering. His giblets are quivering. Anyway, Tinsel the turkey we turn to every day for a tactical take. He's working over here as a FIFA observer. He really fits that blazer well.
He looks
I've
tremendous,
seen him a few times in that technical area.
Yeah, I know.
I think he basically, it was a little passing nod to Sepp Blatter the other day.
He had a Nike cap on, though. The FIFA had just trying right to chop his head off.
So anyway, let's say hello to Tinsel this afternoon. Hi, Tinsel. Yeah, having a great time. Thanks very much. I hope that's true of you too. Denmark, Australia, I know you want to focus on. I know you're a big fan of Australia. Why is that? I don't eat turkeys at Christmas.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I can understand that, can't
that's
you?
A very
they
good
like
point.
A little bit of fish on the beach,
yeah,
or they tend
right,
not to
yeah.
eat turkey. So today, I know you've got quite strong views. You feel they should revert to the three at the back system that they had before Bert van Marwijk took over. So do you think that's likely to happen today? No, it doesn't look like... Oh, okay, sorry.
Oh, blimey. You can't believe Tim... Blimey.
Blimey. He thinks the more orthodox 4-2-3-1 will ultimately be their downfall in this FIFA World Cup
in Russia. And he can't believe Tim Cahill is still playing at his
yeah,
age.
I know. Yeah, are you still a big fan of Tim's? He apparently doesn't eat turkey either. So what's the score going to be, Tinsel, in this one? There are, okay. Well, he's gone for 1-1.
That's very
so he's slightly one. Sat on the fence. You ever seen a turkey sitting on a fence?
Oh, really?
I don't think I have, actually.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Thanks for downloading us once again. We'll catch up with you tomorrow live from Moscow. Enjoy all the football today. Keep it TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.